the guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's deep kick. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. After the delights of the 2-1 victory over Celtic at the weekend, Kevin Twaddle joins myself, Jay and Buster. Welcome along, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
How do.
Well, Kevin, we will talk about your goal at Celtic Park, and then it was followed up a long time after by Simon Lappin's goal to win the game back in 2007. So, an 8-year wait for a victory at Celtic Park, and maybe you're the forgotten man now that Louis Moult's grabbed a double at Celtic Park to come back from 1-0 behind.
I'll be happy to be the forgotten man, to be honest. It was fantastic to see somebody score, not just one goal, but to score two goals and obviously get the winner. It's great for the club as well, because I mean, you just expect to go and get to Park and get rolled over, so it's nice that and to be fair, the boys haven't been doing amazingly brilliant. No, I mean, you're not expecting them to go there and get a result, so to get a result was just, it was just absolutely fantastic. Like,
Jay, we did talk very positively about the Dundee game and the marked improvement in the performance levels. This still wasn't expected, though, to go to the home of the champions and win deservedly as well.
Aye, Kevin's at the nail on the head there. You kind of expect to go to Celtic Park, and I think beforehand I would have just predicted the kind of standard score, a 3-0 defeat. That seems to be quite a bog standard score when you go to a place like Celtic Park, or back in the day when Rangers were in the top flight. If you went to Ibrox, a 3-0 defeat was kind of regular. But you're right, it was a fantastic performance, and you know, it's not even one of those games where we've defended and for our lives and rode our luck and managed to nick a goal or two in the break. We've hammered them. I mean, you could have been 3-4-5-1. I mean, Louis Moult could have had a hat trick. Johnson should have scored. Ainsworth should have scored. It was probably, you know, if you go to Celtic Park, you are going to have to ride your luck once or twice, which we did, so with balls getting cleared off the line and things like that. Penalty, was it a penalty? That's a different debate as well that we got. So we did get a wee bit lucky, but I think in terms of performance, it's probably as good a performance you're going to see from Motherwell side at Fir Park, Celtic Park.
Buster, there were certain individuals that put in fantastic performances. Young Ben Hall, after only making his debut the week before, to come into the centre of defence and play so well against big opposition, that's a very impressive start for the youngster.
Yeah, he done really well. He's, you know, as Jay went through the team there, you know, there's not a bad performer on the team. You know, Ben Hall, I think Celtic's goal, he dived in a bit. Didn't so much as cause the goal, but, you know, dived in, gave the boy plenty of space when he went past him, and it was an easy cutback for there, you know, so luckily, you know, it didn't cost us anything. It's probably something that he had been well aware of. And, you know, as you say, he's only a young boy, so he can learn from things like that.
It was almost kind of the usual script. I know we talk about the brilliant comeback, but Lionel Ainsworth clear through and goal. He tried a pretty ridiculous chip which landed on top of the net when he could have rolled it to Scott McDonald. Celtic got up the park. The shot comes in from Beaton, hits Hamill and ends up in the back of the net. That's so it's real testimony to the team's character that they can come back like that.
I think that was the thing for me, I know. You know, we lost a goal. The Heeds could have went down. As you say, you know, Ainsworth was clean through. And, you know, when you see Ainsworth with the ball, that distance out, he puts his head down and he buries it. As you say, Scott McDonald and, you know, maybe one or two others were, they were a good 20 yards behind, to be fair. You know, he could have held up a wee bit and probably rolled it to the side then. But the chip was a bit ridiculous. And then, as you say, when they scored their goal, the heads could have went down, and that's when it could have went to your typical three or four. But it's maybe the way McGee's got them thinking, you know, putting them a bit of confidence. You know, they all know they're fast. They probably know that their strength is to hit them on the counter when you've got guys like Ainsworth and Johnson who have got that pace. So that was the most pleasing thing for me, the fact that the heads didn't go down after we lost that goal.
And Jay, we've been talking about individuals. Louis Moult grabbed all the headlines with a double. What a find he's been. Some brilliant performances already in the first 4 months of the season, and long may it continue.
He's brilliant. He seems to be getting better every week as well. You know, he's getting better in the air. He's getting, you know, I mean, he seems to have all the attributes for a really good Motherwell player. You know, a goal scorer is one thing. We've had goal scorers, you know, folk who are in the right place at the right time, but he's good at the ball with the ball at his feet. He's got a bit of pace. You know, he's decent in the air. He can hold the ball up. And the amount of work he puts in is frightening. It's been quite a while since I think I've seen a Motherwell player who works quite as hard as Liam Holt. I think he's also getting, at least in the last couple of weeks, getting the benefits of Scott McDonald being far better the last couple of games. I thought Scott McDonald on Saturday was absolutely brilliant. I think he's doing a lot of the dirty work at the moment and allowing Lou Moult the chances to score. So that is cracking that, you know, that partnership's starting to work. But Moult was the kind of player, you know, I know we've got him tied up for another couple of years, and I think if he keeps going the way he's going and does stay for a wee while, he could be the next big Motherwell legend, because he's got that, you know, he's the kind of player that you take to because he puts so much work in. But he's not just a hard worker, he's got the talent and he's got the goals.
Kevin, in terms of the team, it's obviously a huge confidence booster winning at Celtic Park. How does that affect the morale in the dressing room, and how do you ensure that you push on and continue the momentum of such a great result?
I think that's probably the hard part. The hard part's, you're not obviously expected to go to Parkhead and win, and your next game becomes even, I think the fans have a wee bit of expectation as well, but I mean, you've got to go in the park with a lot of confidence as well. As you said, it's, you can't get a bigger confidence boost than going to Parkhead and winning. Being honest as well, you know what, Celtic are so poor as well now, you know, and there's like Motherwell have gone there and deservedly should have beat them probably more than what they did. They rode their luck a wee bit. I read loads of reviews. I've seen the game on the Sunday on the telly as well. But I mean, Celtic are so poor now as well. But as you said, I mean, you've still got the, I don't know, it's just probably the expectation that you do go there as a player and they'll expect to win. But I mean, the way things are now, I mean, there must be a lot of players gone there now and thinking they can. It's not really an upset now, because Celtic are bang average now as well. And I think if there was another team that could be more consistent, I think that the Premier League would probably be a lot tighter than what it is. But, well, I mean, it's quite tight now, but we just got a couple of teams. But the next game's got to be a big game. It's a tough game because you're expected to win. You beat Celtic, you come back to home, you're expected to win your next game. We played St Johnstone after we beat Celtic at Parkhead and we won that game as well. So, listen, Matt McGee's doing well with him. He's starting to get, I don't know, starting to put his own wee thing on the players. You're seeing him working a lot harder, which is a thing that's sort of been lacking a wee bit in the past, I think. And you know what, hopefully onwards and upwards.
That certainly was noticeable, Buster. There's a real increase in the fitness levels of the side, which is certainly a positive in a league where the teams are so closely matched, with perhaps the exception of Celtic and Aberdeen. These things can decide matches. So I saw that the players were given a day off today, and they won't have another day off until after the Hamilton Accies game on the 2nd of January. So they'll be worked hard over the period between Christmas and New Year. Three games, one at Tannadice, then two home games against St Johnstone and Accies. It's a run of fixtures that we can look ahead to with a fair degree of confidence, I think. All games very much winnable, particularly given that we've won our last two and built up a bit of confidence.
It certainly is. But as you know, as Kevin said there, I think the big test here comes, you know, we've went to Parkhead expecting nothing. Because we've got a wee bit of result, you know, the expectations are a wee bit higher. We're now going to Dundee United, who are bottom of the league game. For all accounts, you know, no very good. Apparently they played pretty decently going forward against Inverness, but they were honking at the back. So you know, everybody sort of will be expecting us to get something there. And as you say, that's where the test of the character comes here. You mentioned, obviously, you know, the players are looking a lot fitter. I think McGee said that when he came in, they were a fit bunch of players. I think it's more to do with, you know, there's a bit more desire, the work rate's there, you know, rather than the actual fitness of the players. You know, he said as well, you know, had them in double training sessions when he first came in. And as you say again, if he's got them in every day, I'm assuming he's talking Christmas Day, Boxing, well, we're playing on Boxing Day, so, you know, Christmas Day all the way through. So, you know, it's good to see them obviously getting worked. And, you know, if it starts to pay off in the park, then, you know, it's all for the better, I suppose.
Kevin, it must be a major, or one of the few drawbacks of being a professional footballer, having to go in days like Christmas Day to train when everyone's settling down to a few beers and a big turkey dinner.
Listen, being a football player is a great life. These are probably, although to be honest, I've been quite fortunate through my career. I think most clubs I've been at, I've always been given Christmas Day off. I think the managers obviously give that wee bit trust and a wee bit faith. I don't know whether, being honest with you, I don't know Mark McGee would have a minute on Christmas. I don't think he would like to say publicly that they were getting Christmas Day off, but I think, look, it really depends at clubs. I mean, if you've got a lot of older professionals, boys, haven't they got to go, it is their career and stuff like that. So, and as even as a younger player, you didn't do it either. I mean, there's a lot of young boys at Motherwell now, and I don't know, if they'll be in, they'll be in for a mega light session, and it might be after, obviously, you open up presents. And as you said, I mean, you're no used to going out and bevying all the time being a football player anyway. So, well, I was maybe a real with the exception, and if I was it all the time, but I mean, your normal football player hardly ever goes out. So, it's not really much different, to be fair. It's just, it's the life of a football player. You don't get asked to do much, so it's not the worst having to stay in for a couple of nights. And obviously, after the year, you get to enjoy yourself a wee bit once it all starts calming down a wee bit. But I wouldn't be too sure if you'll have them, to be honest with you, but maybe, I don't know, if he's a family guy. Normally a lot of managers are family guys, not really leave the boys off it.
Jamie, we're talking about the routine over Christmas time. It was fantastic to see the pictures of some of the players going into the kids' ward at Wishaw General last week. And
amazing.
It's the kind of thing that you would like to see the club perhaps do more of, or perhaps they are doing it and it's just not as publicised, but that's the kind of thing that, the kind of news story that you want to see related to the club, that's for sure.
See the thing for me, I've got to be honest with you, the biggest, and this is not like nonsense, this is the truth as well, and I say this when I stop playing football, it's one of the things I really miss having that, being able to go into a hospital and see a wee girl or a wee boy's face light up because you're actually going into a hospital. It's an amazing feeling, and I'm not saying it's probably one of the things you do really appreciate about being a football player. I mean, you're signing autographs all the time, and you're living a wee bubble, to be honest with you. But when you go to the hospital, I mean, the things I've done and been lucky enough today to go in to see kids that have really been struggling and stuff like that, it's phenomenal, and it's amazing for every club, not just Motherwell. I mean, and clubs, to be honest with you, if it was my part, clubs should be doing more than what they do, to be honest with you, to do these kind of things, because these kind of things is what you want to see in the paper. It's what Motherwell are all about as well. They're a lovely family club. It is about going out and helping the community and going to these wee hospitals and that. I mean, it's no asking the world there. And No, I do believe. I mean, my wee girl was in, obviously, hospital over. She was in intensive care, and obviously we had the baby 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I was just thinking that as well. You never ever get to see parts of the hospital until these kind of things happen. But then when I was thinking back, I mean, we'd done a lot of that when we were at the football. It'd be fair going into all the different hospitals. And listen, there's nothing better at Christmas time than lighting up wee kids' faces. I went to see a wee kid 2 years ago, wee laddie Josh, wee Motherwell fan for Motherwell as well. I went to see him because one of my friends knew him, and the wee laddie was dying of leukemia, and he did die eventually, and built up a great wee thing with him as well, and he died on Christmas Eve. And it was, oh my God, I was at church. I'd just come back from church at night with Jack and just broke down. It was absolutely demoralising, wee laddie, 15-year-old. Dying of leukemia, and you thank your lucky stars. I mean, as you said, it's the greatest life in the world, but if you can get a wee bit back to the community and to hospitals and stuff, I think that's really important, especially for clubs like Motherwell, because for me it's the biggest thing. It's why I look for Motherwell results now. It's why I would want Motherwell to do really well. No, nothing against all the teams I've played with, but they're just such an amazing club with amazing people and spirit running about the club.
I think that's a big thing as well, the fact that you know, Motherwell and other clubs as well go on about, you know, being a community club and doing things in the community. And whenever that's discussed, be it on, you know, Steelman Online or things that are advertised, the idea of being a community club always tends to be, you know, like training, you know, football training and putting things on, yeah, and that kind of thing. The kind of things that cost money. But a lot of the things that, you know, being a true community club, you know, the likes 100%. Of visiting, you know, visiting hospitals and things like that, it's not the kind of thing that would cost anything. You know, it's a couple of hours out of someone's day, and it can make a lot of difference.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree with that. I think there are things as well. See, if you're like a neutral fan and stuff like that, and you're trying to attract more people to your club, I mean, for me, I'm a big softie. Reading things like that would make me think to myself, you know what, I would want to be part of that. And as you said, nowadays it's all about money. As you say, training courses, get your kid in for a week and bring 20 quid and can walk on for like a wee hour. Can every couple of months, and maybe taking a bag of presents up every couple of months, just to the hospital and see the wee kids and that. You see even like 3 times, 4 times a year, just in every 3, 4 months. But these are the kind of things you want to hear at the end of the day. It's we all love football and we all love winning. I've been a fan myself and I know what it's like. But it's nice when you read these wee kind of things, because I mean, it's hard to explain, but I mean, I've seen some kids' faces light up when you walk in hospital and you think to yourself, I'm only a football player. It's not even, Ken, you're no different to anybody else. You are, because people can idolise, but a lot of people idolise you, or people do, but you're no different to anybody else. You're just a normal person that has a normal life, but obviously people look up to you because you play football. But having that wee bit of power to walk in somewhere and see a wee kid's face light up will never ever be beaten for me.
Yeah, congratulations to everyone involved in organising that. Hopefully, as we say, we can be quite quick to criticise the club for the lack of things they do, or for doing, if we believe they're doing things wrong. So definitely have to congratulate them when they're doing the right stuff. A new arrival of a rather old face was announced at the end of last week. James McFadden rejoining the club for the third time, Jay. An exciting bit of news, although it seems like it's going to be quite a short third stint, 6 week deal till the end of January.
I think it's one of those ones where, you know, it benefits both parties. I presume we're not paying him much, if anything at all, given, you know, it seems to be about him getting his fitness up before going to Philadelphia. But on a plus point, I think we've already mentioned, you know, with a cup tie against Cove Rangers coming up, it could be set for, you know, Faddy to start, get a few goals, and then you know, be taken off and sort of, you know, the big goodbyes and all that kind of thing. But, you know, it's one of those ones where it doesn't matter how, you know, poor his spell at St Johnstone was, or how, you know, lacking in what he once had when, you know, before he left the club last time around. It's the kind of name that as soon as you find out we've signed him, you don't really care, you're just delighted.
But he's obviously put in the graft in training as well. He's been training on and off since the start of the season at Fir Park. You wouldn't imagine that Mark McGee would have even contemplated bringing him in for 6 days or 6 weeks if he hadn't been impressing.
No, you're right. There's, you know, there's always the talk of the, you know, jobs for the boys if you want. But Mark McGee's, you know, no emotional attachment to him whatsoever, as far as I'm aware. You know, I watched his interview when he signed, and he was saying, I'm there in training every day, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm helping out with the under-15s, talking to the under-17s. So, you know, for what he's saying, he seems to have been at least volunteering a lot of his time to the club. And it's, you know, it's whether or not he actually makes an impact on the park, there was not one person who you had texted or had spoke to on Friday who, although they were saying, you know, I don't know if we'll do anything on the park, there was not one person who didn't say it with a smile on their face. You know, it's just one of these signings where, as you say, if he gets a cameo appearance, yeah, I've got a bet on with our good pal Des, Greg Holmes. You know, so I'll be up a pint if he gets 5 minutes against both Rangers, as you said. So we'll see what happens. But I don't think MD's getting any complaints. As you just said, I don't think he'll be on, you know, earth-shattering wages. But you know, it was a wee bit of a lift, and you know, you never say these things. You never know, these things could have contributed to the player's attitude on Saturday or something. You know, just some wee daft things like that. You know, it certainly lifted the fans. So you know, I imagine it might have lifted some of the players as well.
It must be quite surreal for you, Kevin, watching on as this develops. You've now got Lasley, Hamill, Clarkson, McFadden all still involved in the first team set-up at Fir Park.
Aye, well, they're all obviously fantastic kids when I was there. I mean, spoke about Faddy before. Faddy's is, as you've said now, I think Faddy will offer probably, it's amazing psychologically as well. As you said before the game on Saturday, the boys even knowing that he's in at the club and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of boys. All the boys still love him. He's still at the games. Kind of been through the game and seen him in the last few while as well. So, as you said, I don't think he's going to be struggling for money as well. So I would think they'll obviously maybe sort him out with some sort of win bonus or something, I would think. But no, I mean, just to even have been there. But you know what? He's probably doing a wee bit for his own self as well, because I think he'll get into coaching and stuff like that when he's finished as well. So having the opportunities to do what we... Hamill, that's there now as well, and Keith and taking part in helping the kids and stuff like that. I mean, it must be great for the kids. Imagine you're like 15, 16, 17 year old and you're getting a wee opportunity to see James McFadden at your training and stuff like that. It's more than just him being at the club and playing. It's more about the person that he is and what he can offer to the people round about at the club as well, which I think is brilliant. But as you say, nobody's got to judge him on. And nobody's got to say really bad things about him. Everybody's, when you mention his name, everybody's got to smile, eh? Because he's offered so much to Motherwell. He's a great kid as well.
Jay, do you think that, were you quite surprised to see him actually featuring in the squad of 18 on Saturday? Did you expect that he would come in as quickly as that? I know he didn't get on, but it looks like there may be plans to involve him, that's for sure.
Well, again, I guess it all depends entirely on, you know, as Buster was saying, you know, the idea that McGee doesn't seem to have any emotional attachment to him. I know McFadden said that it's based on how impressive he's been in training, how fit he is and things like that. So if we've signed him on the basis that he is, you know, at a decent level and is fit enough, then I don't see any reason why he shouldn't have made the bench. I think it would have been a far cry to see him start at Celtic Park, but you know, at the end of the day, if he is, I mean, again, you're also looking at a squad that involves guys like Theo Robinson, Jake Taylor and guys like that, so it's not a surprise that James McFadden made the bench ahead of some of those. But yeah, if he's been signed because, you know, he's doing really well in terms of fitness and is looking sharp in training, then I don't see any reason why he shouldn't have made the bench.
Kevin, when guys like that come in, there's young Dom Thomas, Lionel Ainsworth, both on the bench as well on Saturday, that would consider themselves right-sided midfielders. Is that viewed as a challenge, or if it was yourself, would you get a bit sickened by the fact that you're signing yet another player that plays in your position?
I think the only thing I'd be gutted maybe about on Saturday was with Faddy coming in and going straight into the 18. If you've been involved in the 18 the week before and you've been put out for somebody else coming in, I could see that as being a wee bit downhearted. I was very surprised to actually see him being on the bench, and even although he never got on, because I mean there's been a lot of boys doing well and on the fringes, and but now listen, it happens at every club. You want the best players to come in because it raises your game. And you know what kind of part he'll play? I'm not really sure what kind of part he'll play. I don't think he'll play as big a part as probably a lot of people have wanted him to play. But no, I mean you want better players at the club. You want people to be challenging for positions, and I mean there's some. I love the wee boy Dom Thomas. I think if he just keeps learning and he keeps probably maturing his body, matures a wee bit as well because he's a bit lightweight, whatever. But I think he's a fantastic talent. Like I've watched him a few times this year. I don't see him every week like yous do, but I've watched him a few times this year. I mean, very, very, very impressed with him. Like I think if he kept maybe he's I've heard a few people saying typical wide player who sometimes can be a wee bit inconsistent, but if he added that wee bit consistent in his game, he wouldn't be in Scotland very long. Like he'd be away to a decent club, I think. Anyway, I think he's got a lot of potential. But no, you want all the best players to be at your club because if you're bringing good players, it's good for the club, but it's good for you as well because it brings the best out in you as well. If you didn't produce, then you didn't play it.
We discussed this on the podcast last week that Thomas, Mark McGee has already said that he thinks he needs to go out on loan to perhaps get the 15-20 first team games that he perhaps doesn't expect to get at Fir Park between now and the end of the season. We were discussing the risks of that as well, perhaps if he was to move down to a Championship side or even a League One side in Scotland, the dangers of him almost being kind of targeted, and the type of player he is, you would expect him to get targeted. I think that as well, to be fair, I find that quite,
I mean obviously I do see him every week, so usually have maybe different opinions, but I think that kind of strange. Like I didn't see why he couldn't be part of what the boys are doing now. I mean, as I said, I didn't see him every week, so it's hard for me to, but I think there's things there, and I know people want kids to go out to get that wee bit of experience, but I'll tell you, it's harder as a pro. It's harder to go down a level and try perform in the first, second or third division than what it is played in the Premier League. That's one thing I've learned as well. I went on loan to United and, man, it was such an experience. Like, I mean, you've got people trying to punt you up and down the air the years, and he's a young laddie. I mean, he's really good. He's really quick. You've got a lot of boys that are part-time boys that are more willing to watch him swanning and pass them. And so I don't know. I don't know if that would be a good thing for him. I don't know whether he can mature as a player at Motherwell and try work his, develop him at Motherwell rather than putting him out. So I wouldn't have put him out alone. I think he's got a lot to offer, but as I said, I do see him every week. So, but just for what I've seen, I think that it's bloody hard to go and perform, by the way, low in the lower divisions. Like, as a Premier League player, you would think that sounds stupid and it's easy to perform. It's not. It's bloody hard because you don't get as much time on the ball. You've got people, as you said, that are wanting to not prove a point, but it's a wee bit tougher, I think. But I think the kid's got a bright future. I find that very surprising. But as I said, I didn't see him every week. So, what's your views on that?
I don't think any of us would disagree with you on himself or his talent, or even want to see him, you know, basically nurture it here at Fir Park. But I think it's blatantly obvious he's not going to get a chance, and that's why I was sort of up for, you know, seeing him go and loan somewhere, you know, maybe give him game time. So he's not going to get a chance, basically, from basically the way he's being treated and for what McGee said. You know, he's not getting on the park now. McGee said he wants to see him go and, you know, get game time. So he's not going to get a chance here, and that was why I was saying he might as well go, you know, go somewhere and get a bit of game time. You know, obviously hearing, you know, things like that for yourself, it does, you know, Jay basically said near enough the exact same as yourself last week. You know, it does put doubt in your mind whether or not it's a good thing, but I honestly think he maybe needs game time somewhere, and he's not going to get it here.
I think the problem for me with, or the issue I have with it is the fact that, you know, at times over the last year or so, he really has, you know, changed games. It's not just been a case of, you know, a cameo appearance with 5-10 minutes to go and you're thinking, oh, you know, that youngster looks as though he's got a bit about him. I mean, he's come on and completely changed games. He's come on and been a real threat. For a large proportion of the last year, he's probably been a better option, in my opinion, on the left than Marvin Johnson, for example. And as I said last week, you know, there's also, perhaps not now, that, well, over the next month now we've signed Faddy, because obviously he could kind of slot in there, but you're looking at, if Marvin Johnson, for example, gets injured or suspended, or Ainsworth on the other side, you don't have a lot of options in those wide areas. You're suddenly looking at, you know, I don't know, putting Louis Moult out there like he tried to do recently. You know, I don't know what the deal is with Joe Chalmers, if he's still going to feature in McGee's plans, but we don't have, you know, a lot of wingers. And also, I read recently about Mark McGee talking about how, you know, wanting to fast-track young players into the first-team squad. Well, it seems strange if your objective is to fast-track young players into the first-team squad, yet you take the, in my opinion, the brightest prospect we've had in a good few years and farm him out on loan, particularly when he's playing a position that we don't have, you know, a great number of options in.
I think, you know what, maybe I think as well, I think maybe if you're watching him, and listen, he's never going to be the hardest wee guy in the world. He maybe thinks that if he puts him doing a division or two, whatever, or wherever he goes on loan, that, you know what, it might strengthen him as a person, strengthen him, his character as well a wee bit, and maybe strengthen him as a player. But you know what, I don't think he's that kind of player. I think you've got players that do the kind of things. He's a tricky wee player. He's quick, he's special, he's exciting. Listen, if you're asking me if I want to watch somebody on a Saturday, like boys that are playing now, I would watch a lad every week, especially on being young as well. And you know what, there's no excuses for kids being young now. There's so many kids playing the Premier League now that are 16, 17, 18, 19 year old. This is a time now where, as a kid, you've got every opportunity to play because no clubs have got money to bring in experienced boys. So I wouldn't understand why you would let him go out on loan. He's so exciting. Can use it even saying that now. I thought maybe he's where I say the big difference because you see him every week. But changing games, I don't know. I don't know. And I think once you put somebody out on loan, if he doesn't fancy him, and he's putting him out on loan for different reasons, I think that would be a great loss to the club. Like, because I really do think if you put your arm around him and you really try to mature him as a player, I think he could be a really fantastic player for Motherwell. I really do. But putting him out, that really surprises me, to be honest with you.
But I think that he's been a bit of a victim as well, in the terms that he's never really been given a prolonged period of time to prove himself. He'll come in, or he'll make an appearance from the bench, he'll impress, he'll maybe get it the next week, and there will be games where it doesn't work out for him, he'll be taken off, and then you'll not see him again for 3 or 4 weeks. So you need a consistent run of games. So I get where McGee's saying that he's not had that, so he needs to get it, but I do believe that there could be scope for fitting him in at Motherwell, rather than, particularly, as we said last week as well, Kevin, the only teams that seem to play football in the Championship are Queen of the South and Hibs, and there's not going to be many options for him to develop any other team in there. So
when you're a kid as well, he's never got to get that experience if you didn't have a wee bit of faith in him. You know what? You can't put him in a game and he does brilliant and you're expecting him next to the game to do brilliant again. That just, as a white player, it doesn't happen first and foremost. I'm proof of the pudding. Every week, you can't produce every week. There's not many white players produce every week. You know what, you're gifted because you can change games and you excite people and you'll infuriate people at the same time. Me being the perfect case. We miss white players. But as a kid, you can't expect a kid to come in and do the kind of things like I was doing as well, because it's hard as a white player. It really is hard as a white player. And if the team isn't doing well, or if it's not the kind of game for you where the ball isn't going out wide and there's not much football getting played, or it's really tough. It's really tough to, I don't know, I really find that really strange, because I'll tell you, I've came away for a few games and I've spoken to a few Premier League boys that are like my friends just now, and I've praised the boy to the hilt. Like, I think he's but you know what, every manager has their own thoughts. He might have different thoughts. He might actually really like the boy, you know what, he wants him to go on loan and strengthen him up and hopefully come next season bring him in. And I don't know, I always find if you get put out on loan, you get put out on loan for a reason, because you know what, you're not really got to play a lot of games. And if he was that good and the manager really fancied him, he would never got let him go on loan. So he maybe doesn't fancy him. Maybe, I don't know. Just Mark McGee will obviously know best.
Dom Thomas is quietly becoming the new Well Society here, where we discuss him for 15 minutes in every podcast. I'm looking forward to seeing discuss him further next week, no doubt. Jay, we'll move on to the Remember Well question, which I'm sure a few new memories were created this weekend, mind you.
Oh yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting to do the exact same question next week, and I'm sure Louis Moore will get plenty of mentions. But it just goes back to the idea of what Kevin was saying about assuming that you were going to get a hiding, because the only reason I set the question as being, you know, what was your best memories from games against Celtic was, you know, because I wasn't expecting any to be created on Saturday. So it was more about, you know, let's feel optimistic, let's feel good about a trip that we're probably going to lose. But yeah, I've got a few suggestions that you kind of expect. Colin Blackwood, a Bobby Russell-inspired win at Parkhead, early 1989. Who else? A Gagan early goal was cancelled out midway through the second half by Andy Walker, but the Shimmy King, Bobby Russell, scored a great goal, leaving a trail of Celtic players on their arses in the last few minutes before slamming the ball into the roof of the net. Ian Buchanan, who's always on hand to get an answer in for a Remember Well question. Jamie Dolan going in goals for the broken Scott Howie, and Ian Ross poking the winner home in injury time. Andy Walker, dummy, and Pat Bonner at Hampden. The day wee Fergus off Sesame Street came around waving to the Well fans. The day took over and we took a spoil on their party and getting to throw three punches at them in the East Stand on Skippy Sunday. Daniel Glacken said, being delighted at a young Jim Gannon team taking a point at Celtic Park. John Ruddy was inspired that day. What else have we got? Graham Faulkner, same game as Psycho's elbow, but the way Kirkie brushed a raging Billy McNeil aside at half time was class. Also fond of being the only dosser in the Brisbane CSC on Simon Lappin Day. Del Somerville says, the last win for me at Celtic Park, which I think was 2008 when Simon Lappin scored. What else have we got? We've actually got quite a few here. Craig Hart, 91 semi-final replay is an obvious one. Gordon Jaye, Jim Hamilton screamer at Firth Park one year. Graham Whitelaw, last minute winner at the Pigsty, Ian Angus I think a long time ago, Willie Faulkner screamer at Hampden when they were homeless. Richie Stephen, Colin O'Neill's elbow. I've got to say though, quite interesting to point out that we actually mentioned this question before we mentioned Kevin was coming on. Not one person has mentioned the Kevin Twaddle winner at Celtic Park.
See, that's what I said, he's a forgotten man.
I'm definitely a forgotten man, like.
we're here to try and boost your profile, Kevin. Don't worry, we've got your back here.
Don't worry about that. I'm here to boost our big profile.
Jay, we're still here.
All right, I know that was it. That was the end. I was just saying if there was any more chat about your own ones. One I remember is I think we drew one each. With Celtic at Celtic Park, Derek Adams scored. I think, I can't remember if Larson had opened the scoring for them or scored the equaliser, but we drew one each. And the only reason it stands out in my memory is because I think the next day there was a double page spread in the Sun, and because Barcelona had got beat at Celtic Park and we'd managed to get a point, I think it just read Barcelona was the headline, and that just stands out in my head for some reason.
That's brilliant.
I think mine was probably going to be the Ian Ross, Jamie Dolan goalie one as well, but seeing it was mentioned, there was, I think it was about 1995 or 96, we drew them in the third round of the Scottish Cup and Tommy Coyne scored for us to win 1-0. I remember that because I was in the main stand.
I think I was in
93
or 94.
It was early anyway, it was definitely, you know, mid-90s, but that's one that stands out to me, other than, you know, the other usuals that we mentioned there. And, of course, Big Twads' goal, which we've mentioned a million times in the past year anyway.
I can remember Jim Hamilton's goal as well. That was an absolute topper. And Hammy couldn't kick a ball of line for himself. Another brilliant lad as well, great lad as well.
It was a terrible cross by Brian Kerr that was about 4 yards Kerr, behind Jim Hamilton.
I remember that. And I can remember the nutmeg on Hinkley as well, on Pat Bonner as well. Remember that. Memories.
I'm really struggling to think of any that haven't been mentioned, I must admit. Normally I would just mention one that's already been mentioned because I've not been listening, but...
that's normal.
but in this case, I have been listening, so I don't actually... I would, the Tommy Coyne one is one of the first games I can remember my grandpa taking me to in the stand. We had normally sat in the main stand there and then moved to the David Cooper stand when it opened.
She must be older than you look.
The thing is that, like, even Saturday it was kind of a mixture of emotions at the end, because after watching it on the dodgy stream that we had, I think all of us just were desperate to be there. It was just, we possibly made the right decision at the time, but actually missing one after being to so many heavy defeats at Celtic Park was quite a sore game to take.
Did Paul Lambert fall over the advertising board at Celtic Park? Was it Celtic, but at Hampden, when they were the ground sharing? I remember that.
It was definitely Celtic, but
aye.
I think it was at Hampden, aye.
Well, there's a shout for that one.
Sparrow, you can have that.
Do you want to just record me saying that just now?
We'll just edit it in.
Guys, we're going to do a review of the year next week, and we'll have it out sometime before, possibly the middle of next week, but... So, we might as well actually go over the three upcoming fixtures. A busy spell. First one, Dundee United away. United really struggling at the bottom of the table. Can't buy a win. It's normally the kind of old joke that that's a perfect time to play Motherwell and get your 3 points. But despite not having a great deal of joy at Tannadice in recent years, this is a good time to get them. And we're in the back of two really good wins. Confidence is high. I'm looking forward to this one, Buster.
Yeah, as you say, you know, we've put our own wee bus on for amongst ourselves, because the public transport seems to give up around about the Glasgow area. but it'll be interesting to see Dundee United as well, because, you know, as I say, apparently they were pretty good going forward, but paid a little back last week. They seem to be splashing a bit of cash. You know, look at that guy Demel, you know, I think he's Ivorian or something, you know, international centre half he was a couple of years ago. That foreign cinnamon Pongol, they've signed him. I think there's a Japanese goalkeeper waiting in international clearance and all, so they certainly seem to be, you know, splashing the cash again, so to say, but obviously nothing's going their way. So I think if we go there, you know, if we go there and come away with a draw, it might be a decent result for us.
Jay, up against a team that have been struggling lately, if you can go there and keep the supporters quiet and maybe get them on the backs of their own players, it'll act as an extra boost for us, surely, that there's a fair bit of bad feeling about Dundee United just now. A guy was talking to going out of the Dundee game last week in the pub beforehand. He was saying that United fans had already resigned themselves to relegation, which, again, as discussed last week, surprised quite a few of us. But while they're down there just now, Ross County showed last season that you can go on a run and throw yourself up that table. So we kind of need to get a positive result just to keep them in their place, really.
Well, I think it's Tannadice is just one of those grounds that you kind of have a, not a negative reaction to, but it's just, you know, because Dundee United are usually up there, you kind of just assume that it's going to be a really difficult game and you'll be lucky to get anything out of. But then you could have said the same about Pittodrie years ago, and yet, you know, we went, what, 5 or 6 years picking up points every time we went there. So I think it's more that kind of, you know, there's this kind of idea that Tannadice is such a hard place to go, but I think in terms of, you know, the reality of this season, when you compare Dundee United at the moment, to what we've been doing the last few weeks. Okay, as you know, I said last week that it was probably a wee bit early to say that we'd turned any corner under Nagy. I'd probably still stand by that, as good as we were on Saturday. But, you know, you can't, there's no point in going to Celtic Park, coming for a goal down and beating them 2-1, and then going to Tannadice and getting beaten off the worst team in the league. You know, it's a game we should be getting into looking to win. And if we play like we did on Saturday, particularly in the second half, then it's a game I think we will win.
Kevin, I don't think that there's anyone that would have predicted that Dundee United would be so far adrift at the bottom of the table at this point of the season.
No, it's frightening. I'm really feeling a mixture, believe it or not, as well. So it's mad to see. Obviously, Jackie's. I mean, it's so bizarre because you look at Dundee United side. It's actually a decent side, to be fair. There's a lot of good young kids in it as well. But see, when you start losing games, it's demoralising. Like, and you know, no matter what you're doing, the wee bit of luck's didn't go with you, and you just go in any runs. It's like when you're winning, it's like look at Leicester and things like that. Now you just didn't make you get beat, and it's bizarre the feeling that you do have. But see, when you're getting beat, it's hard. And I mean, I've got a lot of younger boys as well who's trying to bring a wee bit of experience. But I think it's brilliant that they're actually playing at Tannadice. If it was at home, I fancy them to beat them up there. Whereas I think if they were at home, fans' expectation at Motherwell, you know what, when the game goes that wee bit longer, they're playing Dundee United, they're at the bottom of the league, they're struggling, nothing for a while in the game, the fans start getting that wee bit. When you're away from home, fans are going to go to Dundee United. If you were at home, bigger expectation of winning. And I don't think many people would go to the game thinking, well, you shouldn't really lose because you're playing against Dundee United, you've got to beat Celtic, you're playing Dundee United, they're not a great side, it's got to be tough, but you'll win. But I think up there, I think it's great that they've got them up there and not at home, to be fair. I think that's even better. I do fancy them to come away with a splendid victory. Not a great victory, but I do fancy them to win with odd goal. Yep.
That game's followed up by a midweek fixture against St Johnston, Jay. Another side that they've had absolutely contrasting fortunes to Dundee United. A very strong start to the season. Although they have kind of hit the skids slightly in the last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's that festive period where the games start coming thick and fast, and, you know, we've got the momentum. Again, it's hard to really make any big judgments on the game against Johnston before we've been to Tannadice, but if we can go to Tannadice and get a result, and, you know, we're coming into this game with, you know, 3 wins and a draw in the last 4 games, then I don't see any reason why we can't, you know, get into that game looking to win. You know, it's a home game, midweek under the floodlights. No, why can't? I presume it is under the floodlights. It won't be a 3 o'clock kickoff because it's the Christmas holidays, I'm presuming. So, you know, a nighttime game we can go into, we can look to, you know, hopefully build on the momentum, because that's the good thing about these games. You know, you've got these games coming every few days, and if you're doing well in them and you're getting good results and you're on form, then, you know, your momentum's there. You know, contrast that with Dundee United. If we go there and beat them, and then they've got another game midweek, and then on New Year's Day, if they're losing games, then they can get, you know, they can really start to struggle and really kind of fall even further behind. So, you know, if all goes well at Tannadice, then yeah, you know, why can't we go into that game? Because we are now in a situation where we should be looking at the top six, because we're by no means, you know, miles away. I think what, 3 points behind or so. So if we win at Tannadice, then, you know, games at home, games against St Johnstone are the kind of games you're going to have to take results from if you want to be top six.
Buster, I know that we can sometimes get a bit ahead of ourselves, and I suppose by previewing 3 games at the one time, we certainly are doing that just now, but is it too early to say that these 3 games could be kind of season-defining, in the sense that you perhaps get 6 or 7 points from these 3 games, you are looking up the table and have aspirations for the top six, whereas a couple of defeats and you're back down there kind of fighting out a wee bit?
I think that if we were to win, you know, as you say, maybe 2 or 3 or whatever comes, it would certainly bode well for us. You know, we'd obviously jump a few league places and we'd be looking up the table rather than, you know, seeing how far we are ahead of the, you know, 11th place. Obviously, as Jay says, you know, there's nothing in the middle of the table there. You know, I think St Johnstone are maybe 10 points ahead of us, but after that, you know, I think there's Hammond or somebody like that who are maybe on 20, 24 or 25 points at most. I've said it, you know, the last couple of weeks, MD in this league can be MD, so it won't surprise me if we don't manage to, you know, beat Dundee United or beat St Johnstone. But, you know, as Jay says, you know, we've got a bit of momentum now, with a couple of decent results. So hopefully, you know, the positive attitude can be taken into these next couple of games. And if we manage to pick up another two wins, you know, these three games, that'd be delightful.
Kevin, a local derby on the 2nd of January, Motherwell Hamilton, that's the kind of games, we've discussed it before, the logistics of travelling around this time, it can be pretty difficult. So that's an ideal fixture, two clubs in close proximity to each other playing at that time of year.
Definitely. I'm going to make a bold prediction. You know what? I think Motherwell's got to win the next three games. There you go. I do think Saturday, as the boys have said as well, I do think Saturday is a huge game. I do think if they go up to Tannadice and win, I think they can be very confident in beating St Johnstone, who started off really well, and they have had a few not so great results because they were pretty consistent. But I really do think if Motherwell can win on Saturday, I do fancy them to beat St Johnstone, and listen, they'll not get beat by Hamilton. Like if they win their next two games, and I think Saturday's a huge, huge game. I think if they can win, build up a wee bit of momentum, I would fancy them to win the next three games. I really do think that. Like that's my prediction. Like I really do think that Saturday's is a huge game, though, because as the boys have said as well, if they go up there and didn't win, then it becomes you play St Johnstone, you're at home. I mean, you go a goal down, whatever, it's can things start becoming a wee bit, and then you're playing Hamilton, it's that big derby where they've pumped us before as well. And I really do think, though, if they win on Saturday, I really do think 9 points is here for the taking. Like, and I do believe that they can build a great wee bit of momentum and have a great start, like, to kind of new year as well, like, without a shadow of a doubt.
Kevin, thanks as always for your time, mate. It's always great to hear from you, and we should have really started by doing this, but congratulations on the new arrival as well. Great news, and it's great to see the wee one has battled back to full health as well. We've been looking out for you, and we're absolutely delighted for you.
Oh, that's very kind. The Hope's amazing. She's the greatest gift ever. Like, it's just nice to think that we've got her. In time for Christmas as well, which is the best feeling in the whole world. And you know what, hopefully in time I'll get her through to a Motherwell game, and I think my missus isn't too happy with that, like, but if she's grown up any football team, she will be a Motherwell fan. But I've sat up in this conversation, how bizarre, sitting up in this conversation, my missus in the hospital, how bizarre is that? What team would you get her to support? And I'm like, there's only one team she could support, and she's like, Hearts. I'm like, no chance, man. She'll be a Well fan without a shadow of a doubt. But my missus knows how much, obviously, Motherwell. I mean, I speak to people on the street when I'm with Jack, and people go on about Ken or Twods used to be a mad jambo, and they laugh and joke about Ken. Like, they'll say to you, you're looking forward to the Hearts game on Saturday against Hibs, or any games, and I sit and say, you know what, it doesn't really bother us. Like, the only team really that I look out for on a Saturday to see if they win is obviously a really friendly wee Higgy at Killy, so I look for Killy's results, and I'm obviously friendly with Gary Locke as well. So, and Motherwell, to be fair, my time at Motherwell will never leave me. Like, the people with the club, just everybody about the place has been absolutely amazing. I'd just like to wish everybody a really nice Christmas as well, and hopefully a nice, safe and happy and healthy 2016 as well, because that's the most important thing in life, making sure everybody's happy and healthy, and hopefully we'll get three results over the next three games. But I do believe Saturday's a big game, and hopefully we'll come out with the right result on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely spot on, mate. As I say, that everybody that listens, we thank you for your support throughout the year, and we wish you all a Merry Christmas. Jay Buster, I'll possibly see you before Christmas, but enjoy your times anyway, and we'll see you again next week for the recap of what has been a rather interesting year for Motherwell Football Club, it must be said.
Oh, aye. Plenty of... I mean, I suppose it's that terrible phrase, the Motherwell rollercoaster, if ever you were going to use that terrible batter, it would be for this year.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, and just to back up Spar as well. Congratulations to lads as well, man.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you what comes through for the game on the way against St Johnston. I'm going to come through for that, so I'll give you a wee bell and hopefully catch up with people through there as well. I meant to say, actually, it was quite funny. It's coming off for what the other day as well. It just shows you, nobody ever recognises you playing football now. When a boy got on the train, he was gone. He was used to be from Motherwell, staying in South Gyle. I get on the train in South Gyle because I'm working there, and the train takes me right home to Mabbott. And the boy jumps on behind me and he's tapped my shoulder and he's like, "You Kevin Twaddle?" I was the guy. He's like, "Oh, by the way, I'm a massive Motherwell fan. I go to all the games. And by the way, you're like one of my heroes." And honestly, he was getting his photo taken and that. And I came in and said to my missus, I was like, "Wow, that's the first time that's happened to me in a long time." Like, it just shows you all the good people in there, all good people in the world, and never forget it.
That's it, mate. That's it. We'll be back next Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Monday with our recap of 2015. Merry Christmas to you all, and thanks for listening.
Still.